Welcome to the Pop Culture Cosmos.
And we're back with the show. It's Jericho Osborne coming right back into here at the Pop Culture Cosmos. Truly appreciate it. Well, it is right now that time we reflect on the previous year in pop culture, and it is the best in pop culture for 2023, and we shouldn't have a best of pop culture for 2023 without the thoughts and feelings of a good friend of the show, indeed, a guy who's been here many times, and we hope many times more. It is Mr. TJ Johnson. TJ, great to have you back, my friend. Looking forward to hearing your thoughts and feelings. I told you you could go as large and as long of a list as you want, but you have only chosen five for your best in pop culture for this year.
Double G, Gerald, thanks so much for having me on the show. Yes, I did pick only five. And the reason I pick only five is because if you just go forever, I can come up with 100 things that were interesting in 2023. But we don't need to do that. That's too much. We don't have that much time. I don't want to do that to your audience. I don't do that to the audience of Pop Culture Cosmos.
Okay, they got to wait for me. They got to wait for me then. They got to wait for Melinda then or Josh. Because, yeah, we've got a lot to get off our chest one way or the other. So, okay.
Fair enough. So, yes, I do have a list of some of the top moments of 2023. And this list is not restricted to one particular genre or one particular category, as we were talking about earlier.
Anything you want.
Pop culture in general was just, it's always such an awesome escape for me, just because it's always something. It's always something to take your attention. It's always something that demands your attention. Be it life, be it trials and tribulations, be it children, be it families, whatever the case is, it's always something. It kind of takes your immediate attention. And so when you have opportunities to relax and you have opportunities to enjoy, or even just have opportunities to talk about one way or the other, be it great or bad, but just opportunities to talk about something other than the everyday strifes of the world, everyday strifes of your life, you can come up with a pretty good list. So some of the top items that I had the opportunity to talk about or discussing in 2023. This is in no particular order. This is not number 1 through 5. It's not my best. It's not my worst. It's just five items we got to talk about in 2023. First and foremost, we got to talk about, my wife will love this one. Beyonce had the entire world in a chokehold with this huge concert that she did. The whole Beyonce craze, of course, continues to go strong because it's Beyonce we're talking about. One of the number one performing artists of all time. I don't want to insult the Beehive because the Beehive is pretty strong, Gerald. I don't know if you notice or not, but you do not mess. Mm-hmm. You don't mess with the Beehive. You mess with the Beehive stings. So you leave the Beehive alone. But one of the biggest things this year was Beyonce having this entire world on a chokehold with this tour. I think my wife went to go see it. She was supposed to go see it twice. She only ended up going once. My sister went about 3 times to go see it. The amount of time and energy spent going to see Beyonce this year, doing things in regards to Beyonce last year, was just insane. And rightfully so. Beyonce is an incredible artist, an incredible performer. So I get it, but I kind of want to leave that in 2023. Let's let Beyonce relax and get some well-deserved rest after her crazy, crazy busy 2023. So that was one of the big things in 2023. The next big thing in 2023, blah, blah, blah. The next big thing in 2023 for me was the revival of Cyberpunk 2077. Now, Gerald, we've been on this show talking about Cyberpunk a few times. Mm-hmm. And I remember the first time we talked about it, you hadn't had the opportunity to play it yet. You didn't have the new system. And you had heard how terrible it was to run on the current consoles or the previous consoles, I should say, not the current consoles.
One of the worst launches in video game history.
One of the worst. One of the worst. One of the worst that I can ever remember. I'm 39 now, so in my almost 40 years of gaming and entertainment, this is probably one of the worst launches ever. But what I will say is the sweet, sweet return of Cyberpunk 2077 was such a huge highlight for me personally, because as we talked about before, I actually really enjoyed the game when it first launched. I understand that I was in the minority because I was probably one of the few that actually had a relatively bug-free experience. Mm-hmm. Not that I did anything special. I just already had the Series X when it was released. So I just played it on that. And I was able to run the base game better than the previous consoles were. So with the release of the new the expansion pack, the Phantom Liberty expansion pack, and the release of all the different updates, and even the updates that we weren't knowing were going to come, the surprise updates, Cyberpunk 2077 reaffirmed itself as one of the premier RPGs of, I guess you can't really say the last generation. I guess you could probably say the current generation, because by the last generation, it really wasn't that great. But if you go current generation, it really was. So I was really excited to dive back into Phantom Liberty, excuse me, that expansion. I decided just to dive back into Night City and experience that story all over again. It was a completely different game. And the fun thing about that is that it's not the game that I remember playing. And the game I remember playing was already fun. I already enjoyed the story. I enjoyed the progression. But this game, it's a completely different game. They added so much more that you really enjoy seeing a comeback story. And I think that's one of the things that endeared us about the Rocky film. That's one of the things that endeared us about a lot of those films, with the Everyman getting beat up and having to come back in the end and win, is everybody loves a good comeback story. And CD Projekt Red had a phenomenal comeback story, very similar to Helio Games with No Man's Sky. Had a very fantastic comeback story in Cyberpunk 2077, allowing that to truly be what they probably envisioned it being from the beginning. They didn't make it there at first, obviously, but ultimately, with Phantom Liberty's expansion and the 2.1 update, it just added so much more meat and potatoes to that game to really make it stand out and really make it be what everybody kind of thought it should have been from the jump. So to me, it really redefined that game, redefined CD Projekt, and it really gave CD Projekt Red some good grace in regards to the gaming community, because they were under fire for quite a bit of that, for that release, for that launch, for their subsequent relative silence afterwards. So yeah, that was another big thing. We also need to talk about the other big thing of 2023, the acquisition of Activision Blizzard. And what was the K and the ABK acquisition? I keep forgetting what the K was in that. The Microsoft acquisition. I forget what the K was.
Oh, it's for the mobile gaming unit, as far as for Candy, Crush and all that. So yes.
That was such a
That's a nice little sweetener, pardon the pun, for that, that was, on top of everything else. Yes. Activision, Blizzard, and yeah, absolutely.
That was such a huge thing for me in 2023. And it was huge because it really showed exactly how not serious we take it, but it showed how toxic the gaming community can be. It shows how we as consumers can really kick aside and draw some serious lines in the sand and not allow any room for anybody to have a really
by King. That's just King. So you know, King.
It was King. Okay. I thought it was King, but I kind of felt like it was wrong, so I didn't say it. But I was right. It was King. All right. So it really kind of just showed us that when you have strong allegiances, there's nothing that's really gonna change that, no matter how good this company is or how bad a company is. When you have strong allegiances, you have strong allegiances, and there's nothing that's gonna change that. You have people who are diehard Sony fans saying some of the most vile things about Xbox fans, and you had Xbox fans who were saying some of the most abhorrent things about PlayStation fans. And what it really showed me was just how toxic of a community it can be. And I say that obviously with us being a part of the community, talking about it and reporting on it, that it's very, very easy for us to fall victim to it, but it's also very important for us to do what we can, what you can, what I can, people about everybody that serves here at the Pop Culture Cosmos, is to be opinionated, sure, but never allow those opinions to override facts. Mm-hmm. Never allow those opinions to hold more weight than facts. And the opinions of a lot of us here at the Pop Culture Cosmos, and the opinions of people, they're valid. They're they're valid. But we look at, we also do a good job here of looking at what actually is and what actually isn't, what's factual and what's not, and what's actually happening. So 2023 was definitely a draw a line in the sand moment for a lot of people. And one of the big things for us here at pop culture was the Activision acquisition for Microsoft, and possibly turning the tides in the console wars, not for the sales of consoles, but just in the hearts and in the consumer's mind about what the best console is going to be. So excited to see how that continues to play out further into 2024 now that we're here, and seeing exactly when that stuff kind of really comes to fruition. Now, let's talk about cinema in 2023.
Okay.
2023 was not the best year for cinema. It's not the best year for Marvel cinema, I should say. Let me be very specific, because you have Oppenheimer and you have Barbie that apparently just took off like a freaking wildfire and became a thing. Barbieheimer or Open Barbie, I forget what they used to put them together since they came out at the same time.
But Barbenheimer.
Barbenheimer, that was it. So 2023 had Barbenheimer. When you look back at the history books, Gerald, and you say, what did 2023 do for you? You will be able to say to your children, Barbenheimer. That's what 2023 was. 2023 was Barbenheimer for us. Being able to, and I say that kind of tongue-in-cheekly, but it really did show that we were very, very, very thirsty for good content this year. And I think having come off of the strike, having come off of still feeling the residual effects of COVID-19 and its chokehold, if you will, on the entertainment industry that it had, I think it just showed that we were really looking for an experience. And that experience we got in Barbenheimer. And I have to be honest with you, I didn't see either Barbie or Oppenheimer. I did not see either one of those films. I don't know if that's a surprise, that's a shock to you, but I did not see either one of those. And I'm also going to, here's another little breaking news for you. I don't have any intentions on seeing either one of those. So maybe Oppenheimer, because Cillian Murphy, maybe I'll give that one a shot, but I don't think you'll see me popping Barbie in.
You're missing out. I'll just say that.
Yeah. Was Barbie that good?
I can't say if they're on my best of list. I'll just say you're missing out. And I'll leave it at that for both movies.
Fair enough. Well, I did hear Oppenheimer was really good. So that one I'm more liable to. Barbie, it just wasn't on my thing. Wasn't on my list. Here was one of the big things of 2023 for me was Super Mario Brothers. The movie was a lot of fun. My kids absolutely loved everything about it, from the awesome singing of one Mr. Jack Black and the song, critically acclaimed song, Peaches. My kids still sing it. I will still catch my son singing it every now and then. And we haven't watched that movie in a little bit of time, but it really, it was fun. And again, that's something that we were looking forward to, is just being able to have some fun this year. And Mario Brothers was kind of that. It was just a fun movie to enjoy. The older generation got a kick out of it because it was kind of fun to see those characters on screen. The younger generation got a kick out of it because it's fun to see those characters on the screen. And everybody got to just really, really just enjoy it, man. So that was another great opportunity, great film, not film, but just a great moment for 2023 for me. I think my biggest moment for 2023, and it's just me personally, this is my personal one. I don't want to get too emotional talking about it, but is the realization that, and this is going to suck, because remember we talked about a couple months ago, we talked about Interstellar, and we talked about obviously me being late to the party, how good Interstellar was for most people. I think for me, the biggest thing for 2023 and pop culture wise is seeing that love, that passion that I've developed over the course of my life in pop culture, being passed on to my kids, and to see how much my daughter has really taken to soundtracks, has really taken to learning more about the movies when they're created, who the directors are, what their backgrounds are, the composers. She knows composers' names of people that have done, like Black Panther, that was Ludwig, you know, Hans Zimmer. She's become very familiar with the world of pop culture and everything that that encompasses. So for me personally, I think that was one of the big highlights of pop culture for me for 2023, was seeing that love, that passion, that thirst for knowledge passed on to my kids, because now I get to watch and help this next generation of Johnsons, if you will, enjoy what pop culture is and enjoy everything that comes along with it, enjoy the conversation, enjoy some of the discourse that comes with it, because it truly is what makes these water cooler moments, water cooler events worth talking about. I know I wasn't doing this list 1 through 5, but that's probably my biggest pop culture experience for 2023, is seeing that love really start to blossom and pass on to my children. That's actually been a whole lot of fun continuing to cultivate and foster that.
You're listening to the Pop Culture Cosmos.
For the latest news and information, analysis and opinions on the Los Angeles Lakers and the NBA, check out the Lakers Fast Break podcast today on wherever you get your podcasts.
It wasn't an easy year. It wasn't a big game here. Obviously, I did have Starfield, which for a lot of people wasn't the game of the year candidate. And even for me, as much as I enjoyed it in the beginning, it did not end up being a game of the year candidate for me as well. Just because it didn't do enough to put itself over the top. It did things well, but it didn't do enough to put it over the top. But then you look at some of the other games that did get Game of the Year, and you wonder how they got to be where they were. Looking at Diablo 3, I understand that Diablo 3 was a fantastic game. I'm looking at Baldur's Gate. I understand that it was another strong game. Mm-hmm. Game of the Year for a lot of people. My Game of the Year, so my video game of the year for 2023, it would have to be, I don't know if I like admitting this on the air, it'd have to be Spider-Man. It'd have to be Spider-Man 2 for 2023. That would have to be my game of the year. And the reason that I say that is because, again, I'm looking at experiences. I'm looking at what a game made you feel. I'm looking at the excitement level that a game brings. I'm looking at them paying off that excitement, paying off the Easter eggs and paying off the little hints, things that you were to give, that you were possibly looking to get, and still setting a table for what's to come. I think Spider-Man 2 is probably the best game that did that in 2023. I will say that the Valhalla DLC for God of War definitely reinvigorated that game for me personally and really helped bring some closure, not closure, but really helped bring the series around full circle by embracing a lot of the older God of War mythos and a lot of the older God of War stuff into the new God of War game that I thought was very, very masterfully done in a way that was still respective of the past, but still in the present, in the current iteration of God of War. I think Christopher Judge's performance, the best game in 23 would definitely be Spider-Man. The best performance in 23, I think, still goes to Christopher Judge. I think his portrayal of Kratos and the gravitas that he uses to give that portrayal is something to behold. Understanding the emotional depths that this actor has and how he embraces that emotional depth for this role as Kratos, I thought was very, very subtle, because a lot of people just didn't realize that Christopher Judge had that. And mm-hmm. I think he showed quite a bit of it in the first God of War, but then to continue to do so in Ragnarok and allow even more of his nuances as Kratos to really shine, it speaks a lot about who he is as an actor and what he is able to bring to the role of Kratos. And it shows a lot of respect that the Santa Monica team has in Christopher Judge and in their people to deliver on the emotional gut punches that Ragnarok was sure to bring. So best game, Spider-Man. Best performance was Christopher Judge as Kratos. And God of War. And I think finally, I know this was supposed to be 5, but now it's current to like 10. But the best music soundtrack wise of 2023, and for me in regards to video games, you know how much I love the music in games. So for me, I think the best soundtrack, this is going to be tough because I really did enjoy. No, it's not going to be tough. It's God of War. It's God of War. It's God of War. Spider-Man 2. The soundtrack was okay. It was really nothing to write home about. I mean, it had some good stuff, but it was nothing crazy. But I think for me, the best soundtrack would still be God of War. I think the way it punctuates Christopher Judge's emotional performances, the way it really, it really captured the emotional impact. It really captured the highs, and it really captured the lows as well of the performance in God of War, and really helped bring that performance to life and give it the gravitas that it needed to show just how much depth there was to it and how much growth there was to be had. It was probably what kept me engrossed in that story from beginning to end as much as it did. Was the soundtrack and the performances. So, game of the year, I think the most fun I had was Spider-Man 2. But as far as performances, as far as songs, as far as music, I should say, it would have gone to God of War Ragnarok.
Once again, it is TJ Johnson, of course, one of our esteemed experts on pop culture. You mentioned Beyonce, and I just wanted to ask this before you had it out, because she had a fantastic year. Last year, right alongside as far as what we saw from Taylor Swift, as Taylor Swift's success was skyrocketing. How great is it to see two women out there that are dominating the field of pop culture, and both, you know, succeeding with their music, then succeeding with their concerts, and then succeeding with their concert films after that?
You know, I was a running joke that I had with my wife that she went to the concert, and then while going to the concert, so Beyonce got her money going to the concert, and then Beyonce gonna get her money by recording the concert and showing it in the theater, and it's gonna record the behind the scenes of the same concert.
Triple dipped.
That is what she triple
in
dipped.
In essence.
Can you do
triple
that?
Triple dipped.
That's not fair. I don't think you're supposed to be able to triple dip, but.
It's already done deal, my friend. They're both cashing in, I hate to tell you. Yeah. They both did the same exact thing, and they both are cashing in on it. So
yeah, they did. I tell you what. So as a father to a very energetic girl, I'm excited. I'm excited to see that, because you don't see enough of it. You know, for as strong of a performer, for as strong of a businesswoman, for as strong of a entertainer that both Beyonce and Taylor Swift are, you don't typically see them put the entire world in a chokehold. I've never seen it before, where they have the entire world in a chokehold for the entire year. I mean, it was a solid year of Beyonce, Taylor Swift, almost like it's a 1-2 punch. And what's exciting about that is it gives my daughter the vision that I can do that. It gives my daughter and it gives not just my daughter, I'm speaking personally, but daughters around the world, kids around the world, little girls around the world, the idea that they can do that. They can be this huge star and perform for cities, perform in different cities and different days, and be able to demand the type of attention that they want, and that they have the ability to do so. All they have to do is put their minds to do it, and it can be theirs. So it really gives them something to aspire to. Not that I expect every little girl to aspire to be Beyonce or Taylor Swift, but I would hope that it would inspire them to realize whatever dreams they have. You know, whether that's to be a scientist, whether that's to be a doctor, whether that's to be an actress, whether that's to be a performer, whatever is it their dreams are. I hope that it inspires them to pursue those passions, to pursue those dreams with a feverish a feverish mentality to not let go and to want to continue to strive and be the absolute best in their field and their craft that they mm-hmm. can be. Because it really does go to show that with effort, I mean, remember Beyonce started, she's 42 years old now. She started in the entertainment industry way back with Star Search. You know, I know I'm showing my age. I know you know what Star Search is, but a lot of the
people don't.
But she started out with Star Search. I mean, I think she got her first big break at 16, 17 years old with Destiny's Child. So she's been in the game for a long time. And at 42 years of age, she's truly one of, if not the premier female entertainer of our generation. And, you know, with Taylor Swift, you know, she still has so much potential to do the same thing. I mean, she's right behind Beyonce in terms of popularity. And I venture to say some people might think that she's a little bit more popular than Beyonce. Beyonce's got a more history, so she's done a little bit more with her clothing line, her music, being on screen, acting a few times, but she's just not a great actress. But that's okay. She has a lot of fun with the roles that she does have. She's got a little bit more in her bag of tricks. But Taylor Swift has the potential to do a lot of that and then some as well. To be a predominantly country singer when she first came out, and to kind of evolve the way that she has and become more of a pop sensation, and not really pigeonhole herself into one genre or the other, but just allow herself to make music, which I think is a fantastic idea in and of itself. And for her to be able to find a way to do that at such a young age and still has so much time and so much life to continue that passion and that persistent pursuit of excellence, the sky's really the limit for it. So I'm excited for both of those young performers. I'm excited for all the young performers to come. I'm excited for all the young women who are looking at them and saying that they can be the best of their class, and so can I. So I'm really looking forward to seeing how it continues to inspire future generations to, if not pursue those same fields, pursue their respective fields with that same amount of passion, that same amount of vigor, and want to truly be the best that they can be in their respective areas. So I'm excited to see how it continues to push people.
Once again, it is TJ Johnson. TJ, you were such a great part of our 2023. I'm looking forward to seeing how you can be an even better part of our 2024. Any last thoughts on the year in pop culture before we head on out?
I think that I'm a little bit more excited now than I was in 2023 for the future of not just pop culture in general, but obviously with us being, and you and I have had many talks about the state of Marvel and DC. I'm more excited about the possibility of what's to come, because they finally, you know, both DC and I think Marvel to some degree as well have finally shown that they are willing to get back to basics and get back to making quality content, making as opposed to quantity of content.
We'll see what happens, my friend, but it's always great to have you here. Once again, it is TJ Johnson. TJ, you know I will come back to you as a resource constantly for your opinions and thoughts and insight on the world of pop culture. Looking forward to hearing more thoughts from you, whether it's Marvel, DC, Sony, Xbox, doesn't matter what, Beyonce, Taylor Swift, doesn't matter. Whatever you want to go ahead and discuss, I'm always ready to listen because you are the man for us here in pop culture when it comes to what we talk about in pop culture. So glad to hear your list and so glad that you are a part of what we do right here at the Pop Culture Cosmos.
What is Planet Cool Stuff? It's your ultimate destination for insightful exploration from the realm of pop culture. Delve into the world of movies, video games, toys, cartoons, and visit with one-of-a-kind creators, discover incredible places, and see historical artifacts. Whether it's a toy room tour or exploring the best of pop culture cinema, Planet Cool Stuff has got you covered. Planet Cool Stuff, exclusively on Jinx Esports TV Canada.
And we're back with the show. It's Gerald Glassford coming right back at you here at the Pop Culture Cosmos. Want to give a big thank you to TJ Johnson for stopping by with his best of pop culture for 2023. But We couldn't have a best of pop culture for 2023. Seems like we're doing it all month long here at the Pop Culture Cosmos, which is a great thing as we celebrate the year 2023 now in 2024. But we couldn't have a best of pop culture for 2023 without my good friend, my amigo, my compadre, the guy who helped me start this fantabulous show to all you listeners and viewers out there. It is the man himself, Josh the Great Peterson. Josh Arino, what's up, my friend?
What's up? Hey, we're just getting some of that nice Texas weather out here. It's like it started to snow and then it stopped and now it's starting again. I don't know.
I thought most of the world outside of Las Vegas, well, we were had a little teeny tiny bit of snow, but I thought the rest of the world seems to be snowed under at this point. I'm just hoping everybody stays safe and stays warm.
Yeah, definitely stay safe out there. Don't go out driving unless you're comfortable doing so. But yeah,
don't do anything Jeremy Renner like,
or Jeremy Clarkson for that matter.
Yes. So you wanted to ask me a question about my travels last week?
Yeah. So I heard you had been at CES. Completely forgot that was taking place this week. What's good? Tell me about it. Did you like it? Was it good? Was it bad?
Well, if you've gone enough years as I have, and I've been privileged enough to attend CES since 1996, I will tell you that they always seem to follow each other with a theme. Mm-hmm. And I said this to Melinda on the Friday show, where it's always based off of a theme. Whether I remember the year that the Android boxes all came out and everybody had to make an Android box. So you go to every single booth, and even if they did something completely different otherwise, they had to have their own Android box just because everybody else was. The theme this year, if there's anything, was AI.
Okay.
AI, a lot, just basically, as far as, whatever, it's just software, or whether it's hardware, whether it's electronics or what have you, everything seemed to have like AI built in, or AI help build, or AI help this, or AI will help you do that, and AI will help make this product better. That was a big thing. I know on the TV side, my God, man, they're getting larger, crisper and sharper. I go there and I'm thinking, okay, Josh Peterson, because they all have those pre-made videos that make sure the color palettes pop, my friend.
That's what I want.
Yes, to quote the great Josh Peterson. Yes. As far as the TVs, the OLED, the transparency OLED, the micro LED, just the different types of televisions, but the size is now getting larger and larger. They're now, I see, not projection, but I believe these are legit 100 and up to 140 inch is what I saw. I did not see a projector attached to it. I think the ones that were most common were right around 105, 110, 115 for Hisense. But yeah, I think I saw 140 that was not projection based. So that was amazing to see. And the sharpness and detail and all of these televisions was just absolutely stunning, my friend.
Yeah. Okay. So what's affordable? Like, what's going to be affordable? And then did you hear, is there any whispers about the digital versus physical battle happening right now?
I can also tell you before we go ahead on that, in VR, was still in vogue. They are still trying to force feed you VR at CES. Every single year gets more and more and more. And I'm not sure how much, again, the people are supporting it. I told Melinda there was like a dime a dozen on those VR driving rigs that you see. Yeah, everybody seemed to have one. Even large venues like Samsung and Sony and other places seem to have, as far as that wouldn't normally carry that stuff. But the fact that I liked that they were emphasizing gaming, even at the large manufacturers, and they had gaming sections devoted to it, was very inspirational to me. But to get back to your question, what is becoming more affordable? I think when it comes right down to it, as these TVs get more detailed and more high-end, the regular televisions that are out there, the 60s, the 65s, the 70s, as we see in Black Friday prices, that will become more of a norm as far as people just going out on a Tuesday in April or a Friday in September and being able to get an affordable large screen television under $500 that will fit their needs. So they don't necessarily have to wait to Black Friday. Also, the technology that's going into, as far as, like I said, cell phones and anything other, any other type of modular equipment that's out there with the help of AI, that seems to be a big thing. But yeah, that seems to be the trend that's going on, as far as, if that answered your question.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, TVs are getting cheaper and cheaper, bigger and bigger and cheaper and cheaper. Yeah, I'm just like, I'm looking at
your robotics, you know, you're was a kind of a thing though. Robotics.
Oh yeah. I mean, AI is everywhere, man. I don't know like how much is going to be too much here. You know, like as a teacher of young minds, I'm constantly running into people using AI to like write papers. So I don't know. I think AI has become like for us, right? It's like giving us a blank check, right? And telling us to be responsible with it, you know?
I could just see a kid in one of your classes go up to ChatGPT or you know, Bing AI or whatever. Hey, AI, write me a paper Josh the Great would give me an A on.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure.
Yeah, right. Let me tell you about color palettes.
A 5,000 word essay on color palettes. A plus. Like. Yeah. A plus indeed.
Congratulations, you win.
But overall, my friend, yeah, it's still the same but different, if that makes sense. I mean, it's ever changing, it's ever evolving, but they all seem to chase trends. They all seem to chase the same thing as far as the marketplace. But I do love the fact that I get the chance, and I'm privileged at the chance to go ahead and be able to see this stuff before it comes to your home in many instances later this year or even early in this year. And in some cases, they won't even come to the North American market at all, and they still show it off at CES.
Yeah, well, I mean, I look at CES as being like a showcase for tech, like not just consumer technology, but just technology in general. So
you got to come with me one of these days too.
I know. All right. We got to make some plans.
I mean, they took up all the halls. I think they're rebuilding the South Hall, but the brand new West Hall, you know, Venetian, all over town. I mean, 130,000 people attended CES this year.
Is that where it's the Level Up Expo was? Is that?
Yes, that where it's at? That's okay. Where it was at. Yeah, well, the South Hall was where we were at. That's the hall that I think may have been closed as far as maybe for retrofitting, because they are going to do some retrofitting to the convention center, and that may be a part of it. But yes, that was the convention center that we were at to do the Level Up Expo for, gotcha. For us. Yes.
Okay.
But yeah, just a tremendous time. I really enjoyed my experience as always there, and I'm hoping to get to go many more years to come and seeing how the world of electronics and the future of electronics will continually change. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. Well, I'm glad it was a good time. Yeah, I do miss convention hopping with you though. Those are always good times.
Well, let me know. We're always glad to do it with you right here at the Pop Culture Cosmos. No more E3. That doesn't mean we can't do something else in the convention scene.
Hey, absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, my friend, before we head on out, it is that time. That time of year. We finally got a good connection. We finally got everything going. We finally got our lives in balance. Got everything going with the families and whatnot. Already say, hey, Josh has got to have some time to go ahead and share to you and to everyone out there his best of pop culture in 2023. So without further adieu, whatever, please go ahead and listen now to Josh Peterson's best of pop culture for 2023.
Okay, so I normally do like TV, movies, video games, and music. So this year with music, I've really listened to, like, I don't know if you know who Zach Bryan is.
I've heard of him.
Country artist, not really country, he's kind of like folksy, I guess, but I don't know. I've listened to him, and that's kind of like been repeating like on my stereo all year, not because I don't want to listen to other things. I just, you know, I have too many kids to sit there browsing music in the morning. So I just kind of been playing over and over again. Anyways, great album. His latest one, don't remember what it's called, but definitely good, good album if you like that type of music. So I'm going to skip that part. TV streaming. So I chose to watch a lot of anime this year because I'm trying to keep up with the, you know, people come up to me when I'm doing shows at conventions and, you know, they ask, hey, do you have this character from this anime? And I think to myself, who is that? You know, most of the time I just kind of like nod my head and go, oh yeah, I know what you're talking about, when I don't. So I have started watching a few things here. So first up on my list, I got Jujutsu Kaisen season 2. Jujutsu Kaisen is just, it's a great show. I don't know, I'm really fascinated with this idea that we, you know, that where the negative things that we do towards other people eventually turn into curses that hurt and destroy and kill and all that. And the Jujutsu sorcerers are around to, you know, take care of those things. But I don't know, it's an interesting, like,
real world things, real world issues. Is it similar to that, my friend? Do you think it
so I don't know, it's the same concept, but anyways, the Geege Akutami, I think, is the writer of this, but I've been so fascinated by it that I actually went out and bought the mangas, and I've been reading those, so I'm pretty caught up right now. But I don't know, really great story, fascinating character development. They're not afraid to like go places that most shows don't, like especially when it comes to like killing beloved characters. But there's always a reason. Every time a main character dies, they go into like these short little backstory moments to kind of flesh out a little bit, but also like justify why that character is killed off. Have you had a chance to check any of that out?
I've read it, but not been able to do that. I have several anime on my queue, courtesy of Netflix, and I do want to compliment them because not only are they trying to get more into the gaming scene, as they had a distinct booth you had to actually wait up to an hour or more for to get in to see, but they are focusing more on anime and being able to go ahead and get into that space a lot more. So I do give them credit for that. I did watch some of their animated work this year, and I'm glad I did because it was really something worthwhile. But go ahead, my friend.
I was going to say, we had a couple of years where Netflix was really getting heavy into the original anime properties. So yes, you can go onto Netflix and see Netflix original animes, which is really cool. You know, I don't know why they stopped doing it. I don't know if it got too expensive for them, but they got some good stuff out there, like Knights of Sidonia and Seven Deadly Sins. All those things are pretty good. But yeah, Crunchyroll continues to be my dominant app this year. What else do I got here? I have Demon Slayer. The Sword Village arc was it was good. Not as good as the last couple seasons, because I guess it all kind of like happened too fast, so you didn't really get a lot of the character development you got in previous seasons. But it's still beautiful. I know you and your daughter were watching Demon Slayer. You guys plan to catch up on it before the new season?
We do. The problem is it just has been so fragmented as far as its release schedules. Sometimes it's really hard to figure out on which platform it is and how to get it. So
yeah, because I know Crunchyroll gets it first as far as the dubbed episodes go, and then I think it 6 months later it falls onto Netflix. So it's definitely scattered all over the place. Jujutsu Kaisen, Demon Slayer, pretty hot selling Funko Pops for us right now. So nice. It's been good to know what the characters' names are and where they come from. I got My Hero Academia season 6 on here, which is it was good. It was pretty good. It got real dark, and you kind of tell it's winding down to its final moments here. Those Funko Pops are so Funko Pops are very cyclical, right? Like when there's something new on, everybody wants those Funko Pops, but when it's like in an off season, nobody wants them. So I cannot for the life of me even give away My Hero Academia Funko Pops right now, but I guarantee you when season 7 starts, those will start flying off the shelf again. I don't know, really, really weird. Not weird, I guess it makes sense to a degree, but yeah, that's just kind of how things are going.
You're listening to the Pop Culture Cosmos. Don't touch that dial. Wait, do people still use dials?
If you're in the Las Vegas and Henderson areas and are looking to buy, sell, or trade the best in classic or current video games and pop culture collectibles, there's no better place to go than Retro City Games. From Xbox to PlayStation, Nintendo to Atari, the great crew at Retro City Games provides the best place to go for all your gaming options. Stop by their two awesome locations in Henderson and also the Las Vegas Strip, or follow Retro City Games on Facebook and Instagram for all the latest deals and new items. Without a doubt, there's no better place to go for your gaming needs than your friends at Retro City Games.
All right. This one's an Amazon Prime show, Clarkson's Farm. I know it was last year I had this on my list too. It continues to be good, you know, and like as someone who lives out in Texas and has 5 acres, you know, I don't have Jeremy Clarkson money, but I don't know, it just kind of piques my interest and has got me interested in doing some research on farming and maybe growing some crops and getting some animals. I don't know. It's definitely entertaining. It is sad to hear that Grand Tour has reached its finale, but Clarkson's Farm is still, I think, going for 3 more seasons. He was, great show, entertaining. Lastly, this one I'm still not quite done with, and I'm still not quite sure how I feel about it, but I've been watching Monarch Legacy of Monsters. Have you had a chance to catch any of those episodes?
I did, and it's been a little cheesy, a little over the top. It is not, from what I hear, Godzilla Minus One. I know that was something I didn't get turned on to. I'm not a huge Godzilla fan, but I'm told I must see Godzilla Minus One, which is still doing in its run in theater. It's been an unexpected hit as far as it's concerned, much like we see from this weekend's box office with Mean Girls posting a $32 million domestic hit. And also as well, Wonka going over $500 million. Want to give props to those two movies this weekend. Even The Beekeeper looks like it might actually do something at $20 million over the course of the weekend with Jason Statham. But yeah, when it comes to Monarch Legacy of Monsters, that's something, again, with Kurt Russell and Walker Russell. I want to say I enjoy those two when they're on screen together, and especially Kurt Russell, because I don't know how much longer we will have Kurt Russell being Kurt Russell on the screen. So I must appreciate it for all it's worth, even though this isn't the best material given to him. It's, again, it leans more away from what I hear about Godzilla Minus One, and it leans more into Godzilla X Kong, which we will be seeing a new iteration of here in the not too distant future.
You know, what's funny is I've kind of just learned to appreciate those movies for the fact that there's no like real storyline to them. It's just, they're just spectacle films meant to be watched, kind of like Fast and the Furious. So, you know, I go into them now thinking like, oh, this is a easy watch with my kids. You know, we just kind of turn it on and enjoy it. Fast and the Furious, I can't say that for anymore after trying to get myself through that last film. Whew,
agreed. Yeah, that was who knows, that may appear on a list of mine.
You know, you said like Wyatt Russell, like I don't enjoy his acting that much because he overacts. What do you think about his acting?
It's there. Right. I mean, my gosh, you know, you're talking about Walker Russell, right?
No, it's Wyatt Russell's.
Wyatt Russell. He of the star of the latest movie Night Swim, about a haunted pool. I begged for years for a Mass Effect film, and what do we get instead? They get funded a haunted pool movie. Yeah, that does me really good. But he is actually just not impressed me much. I mean, we saw him with Falcon and the Winter Soldier, and you know, it's just something where he's going to be U.S. agent and all that, but I'm not really too thrilled that he's in it or anything like that. He just, unlike his father, he has not achieved or found a role that has honed in on his abilities. I mean, Kurt, right away, you know, he got into it with his escape movies and just some other movies during that time. In fact, he grew up as a kid actor for Disney and other stuff that he was doing at a very young age, that he grew up with us on screen. So in order to do that, yeah, it's just, we have so much more of a familiarity with Kurt than we do with his son. But yeah, his son has not done anything really that has impressed me yet either.
Yeah, you know, it's funny, like Kurt Russell, like the 80s and 90s must have been amazing times to be an actor, because you had a literal like buffet of films coming out, like all different types of things from all different types of genres. Whereas today, like there's not that many different types of movies to choose from, you know, Absolutely. As far as, you know, when you're an actor. So I don't know. I think that Wyatt Russell, he has his moments where he's good, but I think he leans into overacting a little too much. Yes. But I mean, it might just take time for him to kind of hone his craft a little bit.
It might need to listen to mom and dad a little bit more, but his dad has been over the top for a while. Big Trouble in Little China. Yes. Love that. I mean, he's over the top in such a great way.
Yeah. Well, that's what I say. Like, even when he's going over the top, he's still like, his voice is controlled. His manners are controlled. All right, movies here. Air, I know I spoke about this earlier this year. Air, I think, is 2023, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Yeah, Air was pretty good. You know, the story of Nike was interesting. I know you and I already talked about this one, so I won't linger too long on that. I do want to talk to you about Rebel Moon. I know we were texting a little bit about it, but I didn't think it was amazing by any stretch of the imagination, but it's gotten okay for me. You know, it's like a middle-of-the-road type of film. But what were your thoughts? We didn't really get
it's to, not on my worst list. It's not on my worst list. I think I put it right just below. Okay, I think it's watchable. I'll put it that way. I just, you know, I think I want a space epic so bad, even with Halo season 2 coming here in a couple weeks, which I know you and I are holding our breath. Are they going to make it as bad as season 1, or they're going to do something better now they have new showrunners in place? Exactly. Yeah. But you know, the first picture I see, the first poster I see of is him with, you know, Pablo Schreiber with his helmet off. Okay. Yeah. That really does have us good as far as those who want something better out of it, but need I digress. Rebel Moon was okay for what it was. I'll give it to where you're at. I think it was okay for what it was at best, but it was very derivative. It was very derivative.
It was derivative, and you could tell that it was originally supposed to be a Star Wars film. Like, it was pretty blatantly obvious there. But, you know, then I think about, like, where could it have fit into the Star Wars universe? Because it was dark, man. Like, I see why, you know, it wasn't put on the slate by Disney. But I don't know. You know, I'm gonna watch that. I think it's supposed to be, like, three parts, right, or something like that, or two parts. I don't know.
It's supposed to be two parts, but then also there's a director's cut, and then there's prequel stuff, and then all this entire universe devoted to it. So we'll see if the people actually respond to it. It's gotten okay viewing so far. We'll see if it continues to do well, and we'll see if it does have a future going forward.
Yeah. I don't regret my time watching it. All right. So actually, this is a controversial for me, but I thought The Flash was okay. You know, I didn't hate it. It got a lot of bad publicity, but that's just because all the James Gunn stuff was going on at the time and Ezra Miller's reputation. I thought the movie was okay. I didn't, it doesn't bum me out that he's not continuing on as the Flash, but it kind of bums me out that, you know, we're not getting to see that ending to the Zack Snyder story. Even if they would have just let him make like Justice League Part 2, I think they would have justified the existence of the Flash and Blue Beetle and Aquaman and so the new Aquaman and so on and so forth. But I don't know. It feels pointless. So that's why it's just like okay for me. It's like a 5 out of 10. You know, it's just kind of like on that line. You know, as far as films go, I don't know, it was there.
I cannot comment on it until next week, and I'll leave it at that.
Ah, gotcha.
But I will leave that one for you. I will not leave it with Melinda on that. I will leave it for you next week.
Okay, but you know, I mean, even if you didn't like it, you know, I'm not gonna, and we'll talk about it later.
I didn't say it. I said I will just leave it for you next week.
Okay, all right. All right, and then the last one I got on my movie list here is a movie called Flora and Son. It's on Apple Plus or Apple TV or whatever it is. Pretty good movie. It takes place in Ireland. Has Joseph Gordon-Levitt, and I forget what the other actress lady's name is, but it's about this lady who she's trying to connect with her teenage son who keeps getting in trouble with the law, and he's trying to make music using his little his little laptop and the garage beats, garage band or whatever it is, and he does like little rap beats. So she buys a guitar and they bond over music, and Joseph Gordon-Levitt's a online computer instructor, and they, you know, there's like a love story there. But anyways, pretty good movie. I just watched it out of boredom when I was just surfing through Apple TV stuff, and I was like, oh, this looks interesting. But anyways, yeah, pretty good movie. Lastly, I got video games here. Final Fantasy 16. You know what's funny is I know we've talked a lot about Final Fantasy this year, but you know, Final Fantasy 16, like it was amazing up until they always have a hard time finishing these games. So it was amazing up until like the very end when you're like about to go fight the boss and it just kind of fizzles out, like they ran out of steam. And I know that there's like some add-ons coming out, and they might be, I don't know where they take place on the timeline, but I don't know, man. I enjoyed my time with the game. I really enjoyed the game. I just wish that it would have had a better ending.
Or anything else, my friend?
An ending. All right, Star Wars Jedi Survivor was pretty good. I haven't quite wrapped that one up yet, and but no, it's great. Like Star Wars does usually. Controversial opinion here. Star Wars does not tend to make great video games, or they haven't in the past. But then these Jedi games have come out, and they've been fun. You know, they've been really great. Dead Space remake was great, excellent, absolutely loved it. Not much to say on that one, except if you slept on this one, definitely pick it up, because it's less scary than the first one, because due to the high res on everything, you can actually like see when things are attacking you, so it's less scary. You don't have to play with the lights on. Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom, I liked it. It was a what am I trying to say? When people keep telling me to play things over and over again, I tend to be less excited about them. So Tears of the Kingdom has taken me a while to get through because I'm like less motivated to play it. But it's cool. It's cool. And then I'm ending here with Starfield. I'm not sure how I feel about it. I really am not. Like it's such a massive game, and I burnt out on it, and then I've got reinvigorated on it, then I burn out on it again. It's I don't know. I don't know where I stand. I don't hate it, but I don't like it, if that makes sense.
That makes perfect sense. That's exactly the way the response has been for it. So I cannot blame you. I cannot blame you a bit. Once again, it is Josh Peterson. Please check him out every week that he's here on the Pop Culture Cosmos. But before we head on out, Mr. Happy Hoarder Collectibles.com and Happy Hoarder, you've been doing some auctioneering last time I heard, or last time I saw, haven't you been?
Yeah, we've been playing around on Whatnot, just trying to clearance out last year's stuff. I'm trying to make room for some new stuff to come in. We put in an application for Anime Sukuna, which is out in Bell County out here in Texas. So if you're in the area, definitely look that up, hoping to get into that one. But yeah, I'm trying to push out last year's stuff so I can get in some newer anime action figures, trading cards, things like that. So definitely check us out on Whatnot at Happy Hoarder Collectibles, and tune in. Yeah, follow us, please.
A new venture for Josh right there for you, Mr. Auctioneer. How about that?
Yeah, we played around with it a little bit in the past, kind of fell off of it because people don't want to pay full price for things on Whatnot. But when you got a bunch of clearance stuff, it doesn't hurt. You know, I'd rather get something for it than nothing.
Once again, please go ahead and check them out today at Happy Hoarder Collectibles and, of course, on Whatnot. Well, Josh, that is a fantastic list as always. Do you have any worst of 2023 that you might hold off for next week before we head on out?
Yeah. Actually, I had my list here, and there are a couple things I did
not. Okay, well, hold on. I just want to make sure you still have stuff, because I'm going to give you my zingers for next week. I just want to let you know, because last time I did the worst of with Melinda. So I think I need to do this year the worst of pop culture with you and the best of pop culture with Melinda on Friday's show. So,
all right, that sounds good to me.
Thanks again so much to Josh Peterson and TJ Johnson for sharing their thoughts on the best of pop culture. Again, big shout out to Wonka for hitting over $500 million. Also, Mean Girls, pretty good surprise at over $30 million for this weekend, and absolutely a big shout out to everyone out there for taking the time out of the day to watching and listening to what we're doing here, Pop Culture Cosmos. D-Gen, big shout out to you. I need your best of pop culture for 2023, D-Gen. Come on this show. You know you've always got the invite. You always got a chance to go ahead and share your thoughts with us each and every time out. Always right there. And if you out there have any thoughts on the best of pop culture, please share it with us each and every week or whenever you can, right here at the Pop Culture Cosmos.